Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Monday, June the 24th, 2024. Thanks for listening to AFR and appreciate you joining us on the show this morning. Joining me in studio is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Christopher Woodward.
Good morning.
Our brother Fred Jackson is out this week, right?
Yes.
He's taking some vacation time.
Taking some PTO. Much needed, yeah. PTO. Fred, for those not aware, he gets up at about 2 a.m. And starts working. You can call two people at 2 a.m. and they're wearing khakis. One is Jake from State Farm. The other is Fred Jackson.
The funny thing is I'm a night owl. So I peruse the news. Yeah, you guys know this because it's a running joke.
Yes.
Even sometimes behind my back. But
it's just because it's a running joke doesn't necessarily mean we think it's funny.
But anyway, I peruse the news anywhere from 10 to midnight usually. And so Allison, my wife, and I, we're both night owls. So I send emails about news stories that we might use on the following day's show late at night. Mm-hmm. And Fred gets up. He does get up at, like, seriously, about 4.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to bed at midnight. Fred's getting up at 4. Mm-hmm. And so he always jokes with me about, you know, I get your news stories, like, do you ever sleep? And I'm like, yeah. He's like getting up at 4 in the morning. I'm like, do you ever sleep?
Yeah. I think he gets up at 3 or 3:30. Fred
but
does.
Forget it getting a text back from Fred after 8.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah,
he's in ZZZ land.
Yep.
Right? Anyway, I hope Fred has a well-deserved break, and he'll be back with us next week. All right, so before we get into the news of the day, you and I were talking prior to the show here. Two big sporting events taking place tonight.
Yes.
Well, what's first? For
Stanley Cup Finals Game 7.
Oh.
Between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. The Panthers went up 3-0. The Edmonton Oilers have won 3 straight to force a Game 7. It is down in Florida's home ice, so they should be favored. But
Florida's
I'm
home ice.
For Edmonton.
You're rooting for Edmonton.
Yes.
Florida's home ice. That just doesn't sound right, and does it?
It sounds strange, doesn't it?
But, you know, in sporting events where you have a 7-game series, the chances of a team coming back after being down 3-0 are probably 5 or 10%.
It's never happened in the NHL in its long and storied history for a team to come back from being down 3-0 and win Game 7. Now, right. It has happened, I think, 3 or 4 times that a team has come back from 3-0 to force a Game 7, but then they usually lose. Well, they've lost every time.
The most legendary comeback that I can remember in professional sports of a team being down 3-0 in a 7-game series would have been the Boston Red Sox.
Against the evil York empire. The New York Yankees.
The Yankees.
When was that?
I think that was 2004. That was when the Red Sox – went on to win their first World Series since 1918.
Because they beat the St. Louis Cardinals, my team, in like 4.
Yeah, it was something. four.
But they had God's anointing.
It was almost like a team of destiny situation.
Don't you think? Yeah. A team of destiny, that's what you want to call it. Don't email me, people. I didn't mean to be sacrilegious there.
Right.
Just kidding around. But they were destined, as they say. And then we've got the College World Series baseball national championship tonight.
Yeah.
Starting at, I think at 6 o'clock Central Time, the Tennessee Volunteers will face the Texas A&M Aggies in a game to decide the national championship tonight. So that's, I think that's at 6. I don't know what time.
Yeah, 7 o'clock Central
Time. Not to scare any Vols fans or Aggies fans listening to us, but in the last few years, the team that wins the College World Series has a really bad season the next. So it's a question of, do you really want it to be rocky at Rocky Top next year?
I think sometimes, though, that's because a team goes to the – wins the national championship in baseball because they're ball players – who are seniors,
you know,
have matured, and then the next year they all go on.
Mississippi State in 2022, the season after they won the College World Series, they lost two pitchers, two really good starting pitchers the same weekend.
It went to the majors, you mean?
They lost them to injury. They didn't leave to go to the pros. I was trying to build on your point, and I failed. I'm sorry. I'll see myself out.
Okay.
You can have a bad game.
Anyway, tonight's a national championship between Tennessee and Texas A&M. And you know what? I'm not going to pick a team.
You're not?
No, we have listeners.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And Tennessee and
who
Texas.
Are both parts of those fan bases.
Right.
And I'm just hoping for a great game.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping for a great
game. Tell me off the air who you prefer.
Yeah. They're both – and, they're, you know, I'm an SEC guy, and they're both SEC teams. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. A lot of drama, though, when you get to – a baseball and hockey too, but you get to a final game and then, you know, you talk about drama.
Oh yeah.
Usually a lot of drama because everything matters.
Right.
The most. So we'll see what happens there. All right, Chris, what's your first news story that we have to talk about?
Well, this is one of those situations that, you know, when bad weather happens, we want to mention it because we care about our fellow Americans, and we being Christians, we want to lift them up in prayer. There is a town called Rock Valley, Iowa, which is in the northwest section of the state, right near the South Dakota state line. And Rock Valley, Iowa has been in the news because, in other parts of Iowa as well, flash floods and heavy rain have led to urgent evacuations. For people that haven't seen or heard this in the news the last couple of days, they have gotten like what some people describe as biblical proportions of rainfall amounts in a very short amount of time, to the point that it's causing these huge waters to build up in the streets, sweeping down cars, putting people at risk. Sirens blared at 2 a.m. in Rocky Valley, Iowa, where people in hundreds of homes were told to get out as the Rock River could no longer take rain that had slammed the region. The city also lacked running water because wells have been unusable due to the problems that they're having there.
You know, I was reading about this because, you know, we have floods all the time, right? I mean, somewhere in the U.S., some flooding. But the amount of rainfall in Iowa and some parts
of South Dakota
is, you mentioned biblical proportions. I've never heard of such. Even in a hurricane, you were mentioning that this morning.
Yeah, it was in South Dakota. I'm trying to find the the graph, but they had 17.5 inches in 72 hours in 3 days. That's that's incredible.
It's hard to believe.
It is.
And you see the results. As you can see the picture, just devastating flooding across that region. But think about this. Okay, if you have a hurricane hit, then they're going to say usually, okay, this can expect 10 inches of rain.
10 inches, yeah. Mm.
And you're going then major flooding. Well, you had 17
inches
in 3 days.
On the chart that I saw was in South Dakota, 17.5 inches was the highest. In places in Iowa, it was 11 or 12 inches. That's still a lot of rain.
That's a torrential downpour the whole time.
And it's been hot too, and dry in some of these places, which means the soil gets kind of baked, and it's difficult for the soil in that state to absorb a lot of the rain, and so it just sits there. It's a very bad situation, and places on the coast that experience hurricanes maybe sometimes are a little more prepared for that kind of thing, but I'm not sure anyone can be prepared for 17 and a half inches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
in that short a period, what, 3 days?
Three days. 2 hours.
Governor Kim Reynolds declared a disaster for 21 counties in northern Iowa, including Sioux County, which includes Rock Valley. Drone video has been posted by the local sheriffs there. If you remember any kind of aerial footage from things like Hurricane Katrina, where New Orleans was just basically a lake, it's very similar to that, to give you an idea of what we're discussing here.
All right, next story.
Well, this is the time of year when we start to see and hear these kinds of stories. We spent a little bit of time on this show talking about shark attacks, specifically in the Gulf of Mexico or maybe on Florida's Atlantic coast side. Three young fathers drowned during weekend trip to Florida coast after getting trapped in a ripped current. America's deadliest rip currents claimed their latest victims on Friday. Young friends were swept to their deaths within minutes of getting taken by this rip current. This is all the more reason why, when they tell you not to get in the water because it's too strong, you should really listen to those kinds of things and not think you know better.
These were three men in their 20s and 30s. This happened yesterday or the day before?
Friday.
And they were from Birmingham, Alabama, and they went down to the Gulf Coast near Panama City Beach, Florida, and went into the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what exactly happened, but the rip current pulled all three of them out, and all three of them drowned.
Yeah.
And you're just wondering to yourself, you know, what? I know a rip current can pull people out. It happens a lot. But three guys?
Yeah.
You know, that were...
Well, I guess it was in the same rip current. Yeah.
They were friends. Yeah, the same rip current. I wonder how far you have to be out for the rip current to take place. You know, knee deep, waist deep?
Well, I remember growing up in New England, people warning about riptides. We called them riptides, rip currents, same thing. And I remember being in up to my knees and feeling that water pulling. But once you get to where it's like waist, it can take your legs out from under you and drags you underwater. And then if you are, like you talked about being on a float, sometimes you can get pulled in a relatively short amount of time. You're sitting on the surface. Before you know it, you look up and you're 100 yards or 150 yards from shore, and that's terrifying.
I mentioned this before. That happened to our family. We were in Cancun, Mexico, just 10 years ago or so, and we're on floats. But you know, you're just sitting out there talking, relaxing, you know, in the ocean, enjoying the water, and then within. Like 5-10 minutes, you realize you're 100 yards from the coastline.
Yeah.
Because you've been pulled out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we had to have nobody's life was in danger.
Right.
But we did have to have the lifeguards come out to help us. But we had floats, thank goodness.
Yeah.
You know, but some people, they get pulled out. They don't have any kind of flotation device or.
Well, we were always told growing up, because like I said, riptides were not uncommon.
Right.
In New England. We were always told your first thought is to swim against that current to get back to shore. They said that's a losing proposition. You always swim parallel to the shore to get out of the riptide, and then you can try to make your way back. Hopefully someone's watching you and can get and ask for help. Someone can come with a boat.
Right. Yeah, a boat or jet ski or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think they've had five along that Panama City area in the last week.
Five drowned. Mm-hmm.
And then I read where a couple in West Palm Beach, Florida, got sucked out to the, both of them passed away in front of their kids.
Oh my.
In front of their teenage kids. Both parents got pulled out and drowned. And you're right. Most people start instinctively trying to swim back to shore, and then they exhaust themselves. And that's when they drown.
The couple there that passed away in front of their kids, 51-year-old Brian Warder of Pennsylvania, along with Erica Wishart, 48 years old, drowned in front of their six children when they were caught up in a riptide.
I think it's a red flag, right? Mm-hmm. Red flag means you don't go in the water, basically.
And I've done that here with these three young guys.
Yeah.
There was a red flag.
They
I thought about that.
They didn't see it or ignored it.
I've been to the beach before with a group of guys, one of those college trips. We know what we're doing.
Right.
I've thought a lot about that since we were kind of planning on discussing some of these topics here.
Very sad for the families, obviously.
Also, you got sharks now, you know, coming up close to the shoreline. I saw where in Hawaii, like a well-known surfer got attacked.
Tameo Perry, if I said his name correctly.
Of course, those surfers... especially in Hawaii, I've been there to the North Shore. I don't know where this was exactly. It said Oahu, and I'm thinking maybe it was the North Shore of Hawaii, of Oahu, and they got these major waves all constantly, and it's like a big attraction to surfers.
Right.
But they know they're swimming with sharks, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they...
There's sharks out there. My understanding is that sharks generally don't go after people because they recognize them as not being part of their regular diet, if you can say it. So shark attacks are relatively rare, but they seem to have ticked upwards a little bit here over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Chris.
Well, I wanted to make sure that we brought this up in the first 30 minutes, especially given what we're about to discuss. It was on this day in history, June 24th, 2022, that the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, ending the so-called constitutional right to an abortion. That was 2 years ago. I remember it very well. It was a Friday at the time. A lot of Supreme Court rulings, the big ones, these days tend to come out on Friday mornings. It was just before Today's Issues aired. So we spent like pretty much the entire weekend working and calling and asking people the same kinds of questions. Those being like, did you ever think we would see this day? And many people did. Many people had prayed for decades that we were overturned Roe. But many of those same people, even to this day, will tell us things like, look, Roe is gone. That's great, but we still have work to do. You need to support your pro-life pregnancy centers. You need to be out there sharing what God says about life and the womb and things of that nature. So 2 years later, we're still busy covering this issue. But I, as a Christian, I prayed for it. I'm glad that we saw it. And I thought maybe we would, but it was a very emotional day around here on campus when that came down. And the reason I bring that up is because former President Donald Trump, they may even get into this later this week when they have the first debate on CNN. Donald Trump has proudly stood by his decisions to appoint conservative justices that played a role in overturning Roe v. Wade. President Biden and his Vice President Kamala Harris issued a statement just before I came on the air here. The Biden-Harris administration says, quote, 2 years ago today, Donald Trump's Supreme Court majority ripped away the fundamental freedom for women to access the health care they need and deserve. The consequences have been devastating in states across the country. Trump's allies have enacted extreme and dangerous abortion bans, many with no exception for rape or incest, that are putting women's lives at risk and threatening doctors with jail time. He went on to say Donald Trump is the sole person responsible for this nightmare. And he goes on to basically say that if he's reelected, he's going to codify Roe and things of that nature.
Yeah, it has been a... now, first of all, I will freely admit, and maybe this is maybe this demonstrates that I had no faith, okay? But I did not think I would live to see Roe v. Wade overturned, simply because I thought the country was too split for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Credit to President Trump for putting three pro-life justices on the Supreme Court, because that is what led to Roe versus Wade being overturned in the Dobbs decision. I will say this, though. I have been extremely disappointed in the American people in states where they have altered their state constitutions in referendums and made and really enshrined abortion in states that I never thought it would happen in, states that I thought were kind of conservative. I think Montana might have been the first state to do that. So to your point, Chris, this battle is far from over. The majority of Americans seem to be okay with abortion in terms of at least under the conditions of the health of the mother and rape and incest. But a lot of people seem to be okay with abortion, at least in the first 3 months. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. America has a lot of real serious and moral and spiritual problems, and that support for abortion is a symptom of that.
Yeah, we talked a minute ago about how big Supreme Court decisions in this day and age seem to come down late into June on Friday mornings, things of that sort. One of the things that's always surprised me, and I didn't realize this until I just really started looking into it, Roe v. Wade itself, the ruling, 7-2 decision, by the way, was announced in January of 1973. Like, I can't think of any other landmark, lasted for decades kind of decision that came out that early in a term.
Well, usually they have cases that they hear. The Supreme Court's session starts the first Monday in October, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And then they start hearing cases, and those decisions are usually released in the early part of the following year. And then they hear more cases, and then those are usually released in June before they are no longer seated for the summer.
Very true.
And so I think that's probably why those kinds of things. That's why January is usually pro-life.
It is. That's why.
It's the anniversary
March for life,
of
which we do cover.
Roe v. Wade.
Yeah. Speaking of Supreme Court news, this just broke not too long ago. The U.S. Supreme Court today jumped into the fight over so-called transgender rights, agreeing to hear an appeal from the Biden administration seeking to block state bans on the gender manipulation of minors. As we have discussed in this program many times, many states, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, others, red states, have taken steps to restrict the gender manipulation of minors, therapies, surgeries, things like that, on people that are under the age of 18. It's not that you can't ever have it done. It's just that you can't do it if you're 17 and younger. And the reasoning from people like Governor Greg Abbott, our governor here, Tate Reeves, is that, you know, look, states tell you you can't drive a car at 12. You shouldn't be able to have surgeries until you're older and you can make a better informed decision, right. Things of that sort. Apparently, the Supreme Court has decided today they are going to take this up. That will be a big case. They will hear at a time to be determined in the session that, as you mentioned, does begin in October.
Okay.
Now, so who's challenging these state laws?
The Biden administration.
And I think there have been some split decisions in appellate courts, some ruling in favor.
It should be
some
9-0.
It should be.
Mm-hmm. It should be 9-0 in favor of the states because do you know what the do you have any quotation at all from the is it the Biden? Let me ask you this: the attorney that usually represents the federal government in the Supreme Court is called the Solicitor General.
Correct.
Yes.
Is that who, do you know?
That's who will argue this case
on behalf of the Biden.
For the federal government.
Okay. This is wicked.
Yes.
On the part of Biden's administration. The idea that minors should be able to alter their bodies through surgery or hormone therapy, whatever, and it's just wicked. Mm-hmm. And it's wicked whenever it's done because that's not how God made you,
right?
But it's especially evil, like if you can have degrees of evil there, when you have a president's administration trying to argue that minors should be able to have surgeries to alter their gender.
Right.
The manipulation. I mean, it's the idea that you would argue for that, mm-hmm. that somehow being good a good thing is terrible. But anyway, we'll see. So what you're saying, the Supreme Court has taken up that case.
Yes, and it would be October before they hear any arguments on it, if they hear it that early.
Yeah.
We'll cover it more later today.
Yeah. We'll be back with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. But did you know that the number of abortions actually increased the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please, give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Chris, thanks for listening to AFR. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. Ed, folks want to watch the show.
And why wouldn't they?
You tell them how, Ed.
All right, there are several options.
Several
for you.
Options available.
If you want to watch, if you want to watch the live video stream of this program, you have several options. You can go to Facebook and search for Today's Issues. That makes sense. You can go to YouTube and search for Today's Issues Live.
Yes.
You can go to our own streaming platform, stream.afa.net, stream.afa.net, or you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and search for American Family Radio, and then whatever program is live at that time, you can see the live video stream.
Hey, I got a good news story for you. Everybody likes good news.
Especially absolutely, especially on a Monday.
Amen. I was reading about this. Grenada Lake, Mississippi, which is about 2 hours from us here. Mm-hmm. I was there 2 weeks ago in that area. There was a hunt with dogs. I'm trying to find out what kind of it was. Anyway, dogs were hunting. They had GPS collars on. This was a professional hunt. I don't know if it was what they were. Anyway, okay. So anyway, I guess it doesn't really matter what they're hunting. I don't know if they're hunting coons or what. So this is during the day. Well, there's three fishermen. Two of them, I think, are from Arkansas. A State Farm agent, Bob Gist, G-I-S-T, 61, from Arkansas. So he and his friend are out fishing on the lake. And they hear these dogs barking from a distance. And the dogs keep on barking. The dogs keep on barking. This is, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes or so. Well, these guys see these dogs, a lot of them, on the horizon, or right. I don't know, I'm making it, they could see them.
Yeah.
They could hear them. And they figure out, well, something's going on here, unusual, that shouldn't be happening. And so they take their bass boat over there to check it out, and you've got 38 dogs.
38?
Mm-hmm. I have a picture on our Facebook page. I found
it. Oh,
you
do? Mm-hmm. So 38 dogs are out a mile from the shore barking. They're treading water. They had evidently chased a deer out into the lake. And they couldn't see their way back. They couldn't know where to go, So they had gone out into the water. Well, these guys started, excuse the expression, fishing the dogs out. They realized what's going on here, and they started fishing the dogs out of the lake. And I think they got 34 of them on to their bass boat. Look at this picture. Mm-hmm. Hey, you put it on the Today's Issues Facebook page. Sir.
Wow, that's a great boat. Get 34 dogs. So what, four died or something?
Well, I think the other four were rescued by somebody else.
Oh, okay.
They went back and got them. But they the owners of the dogs kind of figured out that they had been out there like an hour treading water. I don't know, you know. But, I mean, thank God they heard them and they went to their rescue.
Yeah.
A total of 38 dogs were rescued from Grenada Lake in Mississippi after fishermen heard them barking while on the...
All right, now I'm going to be honest here. You mind if I be honest? When you started telling this story, I thought this was going to turn into a really cool Bigfoot story.
Well, I got that. Well, actually, the last four dogs
were
saved by Bigfoot.
Were saved by
I tell you this.
I really thought they was going to say, and the fishermen saw what they were barking at, and it was, you know,
it's
a Bigfoot story.
Well, these dogs were out, you know, they were chasing a...
probably a deer.
I thought I read where they were chasing. They chased a deer, but I don't know if that was their purpose or if they were on some kind of a, you know, like a, you know, people hunt coons, but that's usually at night,
right?
Yeah, I think, and you don't need 38 dogs to tree a raccoon.
Speaking of 38 dogs, if I was the PR person for this boat manufacturer,
I know that's what I'm saying.
I'd be like, fits two humans and dozens of dogs comfortably.
That probably will happen.
That needs to be on a commercial at the local boat.
Just
boat
think how much fish you can put in that.
Yeah.
Boat.
It says the owner of the dogs, tried to pay the gentleman from Arkansas, Cressman, but he refused to take the award. So anyway. When you read a story like that, I'm like going, I don't want to read about a bunch of dogs drowning. That's depressing. But this is a good news story that these dogs were rescued and saved. But again, I don't know why exactly. I don't know what kind of hunt they were on.
Okay, well, now a friend of mine just texted because he's listening to the radio program, and he says people hunt wild hogs with dogs. So maybe they were hunting
I would think the wild hog would win that one.
Well,
unless you got a bunch of dogs, they probably don't confront. I don't know. Do they confront them and fight? They probably just corner them.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not. This is above my pay grade. But
fox hunting, I was just told by a text.
Fox.
Yeah, fox hunting.
Okay.
All right, so there you go.
Well,
but I know it did say a deer was out in the water. They said,
and I did. I remember now reading a book that said that dogs will hunt wild hogs perched on logs nearby with nearby frogs. So I was a kid when I read that, but that.
Well, Johnny Cash sang about that.
It was covered by the Carpenters in 1976.
Yes, it was covered by the
Carpenters.
But it was Johnny Cash's original hit.
Okay.
All right, next story, Chris.
Thursday. I don't know if you guys have heard, but there's a debate on Thursday between the current president and the former president who wants to be president again. This one's
Bill.
The CNN debate. I've got the stuff here for you.
You give us the lowdown there,
yes,
Chris.
It begins at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Joe Biden time, 9 p.m. Eastern. He's going to run for 90 minutes, supposedly.
Where are they going to be?
They're going to be
at Atlanta, CNN Studios.
CNN Studios in Atlanta. Yeah, it's going to be moderated, so-called, by CNN's Jake Tapper, or Fake Tapper, as Donald Trump likes to call him now, and Dana Bash. It's going to take place at the Network Studios in Atlanta. This time around, it's going to be a little bit different. By the way, if the Lord tarries, we do plan to staff Thursday night, so do keep it here for coverage of our debate.
You don't think the Lord's going to tarry?
Well, if the Lord doesn't return between now and Thursday, we'll be here to cover it.
When do you ever use the word tarry?
When I say if the Lord tarry.
Does anybody ever?
The only time
it's used. If you go to pick up your pizza at the store and it's not ready, do you tarry?
I'm going to do it today just to see if somebody picks up.
That is the only time, and it's only evangelical Christians who use it when talking about it.
I don't even know how you spell tarry.
So do you do that every time you talk about your plans? If the Lord tarry, this Saturday I'm going to work out in the yard?
I do use that often. My brother from another mother slash coworker, Robert Thornton, has probably heard me say it a lot. Hey, if the Lord tarries and we do a 4 o'clock today, let's, you know, blah, blah, blah. We'll kind of do that.
There's another word that's rarely used, and I mentioned this before. Just if you're on an airplane, that's the only time it's ever used.
I know what you're going to say.
Huh? Stow.
Stow luggage.
Stow it.
Nobody, unless you're on an airplane, nobody ever uses the word stow. Yeah, to describe
now,
anything.
Archie Bunker used to on.
Did he really?
Yeah.
What would he say?
He would say, "You stow that, Edith." Remember, he was always insulting his wife. He'd say, "Stow that," or "Stow that, meathead," when he was talking to his son-in-law.
Does that mean like shutty?
Yeah, it's like shutty.
Like zip it up.
Yeah. Okay. Stow that.
Stow that, Edith.
And my dad would use that every once in a while.
Stow?
Yeah.
I just never heard it except on an airplane when you need to stow your stuff. Stow your luggage above the... Mm-hmm.
Well, I all the time tell my wife, if the Lord tarries, we will stow our luggage on this trip.
So anyway, if the Lord wills, we'll have this debate on Thursday.
If the Lord wills.
Yeah, between Biden and Trump.
You can invoke the Lord's name in this thing, huh?
The debate...
On Thursday night.
Hey, the Lord reigns everywhere. But the debate also breaks with
especially
campaign tradition.
Especially in Iowa.
It does.
I'm sorry. This
the
is,
debate
we're,
breaks
we're going
with
off
campaign
the rails
tradition
here.
Occurring months earlier than usual, and with a new set of rules both candidates have agreed to, including no live audience. It's also been widely reported that they may also mute mics.
All right, so situation is this. Biden and Trump are going to be in Atlanta on Thursday night, and this debate is going to be at the studios there?
Network Studios in Atlanta. Good luck on that traffic.
So you will, yeah, because there'll be the presidential motorcade and then, okay, so you said it's at what time, Eastern time?
9 p.m. Eastern.
So 8 o'clock?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm surprised they're waiting that late.
Yeah.
That just seems really late to have a debate. But the setting is going to be this. You're going to have Jake Tapper and what's her name?
Dana Bash.
Dana Bash. And they're going to be the moderators. Mm-hmm. And there's no audience, right?
Correct.
And you can't bring notes, mm-hmm. right? And so they're going to have bottled water. And I think you have a pad that the CNN will provide for you to write on. This is what I read.
Yeah, so you can't slip any notes.
Right. Yeah. So this is going to have to be, you know, off the top of your head.
Correct.
Type stuff, which... I don't know. The bar has been the expectation level, I should say, by the by people who watch this, I think, and the American people is not very high for Biden, right? I mean, the expectation level. Some people are saying if he can stay awake, that's a victory.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's sort of the joke.
You know, and that's we understandably bring that up every time he does a late night speech. State of the Union is no exception here. But from time to time, when he comes out and he doesn't stumble or say things he shouldn't or do something that somebody would consider a gaffe, generally the people who love to defend him on media will talk about how he was great and he's polished, and it shows that he is there mentally and all these other things.
Well, I'll tell you what's likely to happen is – I think the one personally, I don't think this is going to change anybody's mind.
No, I don't.
I really don't. I think you can vote today, and it's going to be the same as it's going to be in November. That's my opinion right now. However, you know, we always have presidential debates. I think as far as winning and losing a debate, it'll probably be who's your guy, right? And you can already tell. Trump supporters right now are going to say he won,
right?
No matter what, Democrats are going to say Biden won, no matter what. The one risk I think Trump has, Biden has the risk of just freezing, or slurring his words, or not. You know what I'm saying? Those are a real risk for him. We've seen how he's going downhill. Mentally and his articulation. However, if Trump is constantly interrupting, as he's prone to do, mm-hmm. that doesn't look good in a debate situation, because people get back to, well, let the person talk, okay? So I think he should, quote, let Biden hang himself, end of quote, you know, in a metaphoric way. I don't think we should see a public hanging, because I think Trump would lose if he were to hang Biden actually on TV. don't you think that would hurt him in the polls?
Yes. A lot can happen between now and the election.
Now, Trump did say I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue in broad daylight and people would still love me.
Mm. Right.
But I think you start hanging a president, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Especially after his bedtime. you're gonna be hurting the polls by that.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a much watched television event. Mm-hmm. I think people are watching for voyeuristic purposes more than cheer on their guy, don't you?
I've never seen a debate before the conventions. Presidential debate.
That's true. I've never seen it this early.
Usually the debates are is September, or October before the election, after the conventions.
Yeah.
I think it could change the election. I understand what you're saying. If there's a political catastrophe on Thursday night, either Trump or Biden says something so outlandish or so wrong, I think if Biden falls asleep or wanders off the platform, you know, that kind of catastrophic mistake, I don't think he will. I think he'll have taken plenty of vitamins, quote unquote.
Mm. Or you think he's going to be shot up with drugs?
I do have some audio to that effect.
All right, well, let's hear the audio, because I think that's
giving the regimen?
No.
There, Chris?
It's Congressman Ronny Jackson of Texas talking about Biden's mental state and possibly, allegedly, supposedly, being fed drugs. Clip 5.
We need a commander-in-chief. We need a head of state that can function on a day-to-day basis without being medicated. And that's why this drug test is important, because if he gets up there and he looks like he did from the State of the Union, where he's all, like Dr. Murphy said, all jacked up, the American people are going to realize that something's going on. That is not the Joe Biden that we see on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, listen, I'm not saying that the president would take anything illegal, but I think he'll have been taking some sort of cocktail I'm just saying.
How do you say that without any?
It's just vanilla ice cream.
Just like he's saying. Who's Ronny Jackson?
Ronny Jackson.
There's no way that the Joe Biden I see on a day-to-day basis can stay in a debate for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
They don't even do live interviews with this guy for the most part.
Right.
He is not capable in his
tale of
current,
Joe Biden's.
Yes. In his current state, he is not capable of being mentally sharp enough to do a debate for 90 minutes. They're going to have to give him I don't know what it is. I'm not a doctor. Okay?
All right, but Trump said this about, this is not Ronnie, this is what Trump said at a rally in Philadelphia on Saturday night. I think it's Saturday night. Quote, right now, Crooked Joe has gone to a log cabin to study. He put in quotes. Mr. Trump said at a rally in Philadelphia, quote, this is Trump talking about Biden. He's sleeping now because they want to get him good and strong. So a little before debate time, he gets a shot in the, I'll say buttocks. That's not what Trump said.
Buttocks.
You know what I'm saying? So Trump's
pretty good. That was pretty good.
That was good.
Forrest Gump imitation.
Forrest Gump. Anyway, so Trump is saying that before the debate, whoever is in control of Biden's faculties will give him a shot in the rump. How about that?
No, I like the other way better, but
buttocks. Buttocks. Anyway, so Biden's and he says Trump says that Biden will be jacked up.
Yeah,
this sounds like a. He was MMA fight.
He was very energetic in the State of the Union this year. He was very energetic, and he did go about 90 minutes in that one. It started late.
Let me ask you this. First of all, I never thought I'd see the day where one presidential candidate is accusing the other one of getting a shot in the rear end so he can be all jacked up for a debate. I don't know. This is kind of surreal.
Yes. I don't remember that from 96 between but, Clinton.
Right. Trump says, quote, I'll say he'll come out all jacked up, right? And then, I'm sure he'll be prepared. Anyway, we'll see what happens. But now, let me ask you this. What are you saying that Biden can't perform without drugs?
Listen, not the way I see him on a daily basis. You know, maybe a 10-minute interview, he might be able to pull that off. But he, no, I don't. Now, listen, I don't generally like to make those kinds of comments without knowing. Again, I'm getting awfully close to, like, gossipy kind of stuff. But I just don't think he's capable of a 90-minute debate. I personally think he was a little juiced up in 2020.
Hmm. Let me ask you this. I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a minute. What's wrong with being juiced up? It's illegal.
Well, because
I need a little caffeine in the morning to get me started sometimes. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, but that's because you can do your job without the caffeine. You may not be able to do it as joyfully or as energetically, but what Congressman Jackson was saying is that the president needs to be at a top form on a daily basis.
Yeah.
The debate is Biden's attempt to ask the American people for four more years, but you want a president that's what you see is what you get, and that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Can it continue with my devil's advocacy? Okay. Is it fair to make accusations about somebody using drugs when you don't know?
No,
it's not. It's not fair. What I'm saying is the Joe Biden I see on a daily basis when I see him give speeches or when I, you know, hear him talking with reporters at some event or whatever, does not seem to be a man in tip-top mental or physical health. And what I'm saying is, if that's the Joe Biden I see on Thursday night, fine. Then that's the real Joe Biden. But if I see him, if he's up there and, you know, doing the Texas two-step and, you know, sharp, I don't believe that's the everyday Joe Biden.
Well,
what would provoke that difference? It would have to be some sort of, even if it's vitamins, even if it's B12 shots, I don't know. But
well, I do know that people in his condition can have good days and bad days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a roll of the dice.
Right.
On what that day was going to look like. I'm a little surprised that Biden's team agreed to something at 9 p.m. Eastern time, right?
That
seems to me putting him more in, because, you know, Trump doesn't sleep.
Right.
I mean, huh?
And we've said he's unusual. And in terms of his physical
he
nature,
doesn't sleep, Trump. So it's not going to bother him. You could have it two in the morning.
Right.
I will say, you know, we live in an age where a lot of people stream now instead of watch something on television. This will be a CNN event. The streaming platform Max, formerly known as HBO, will also have it. Viewers without a cable login can watch on CNN's website.
I think most people are going to be tuning in not for the content, but the voyeuristic nature of it.
Are they going to fight?
In other words, it's
are they going to fight?
Yeah, they want to see what Trump's going to say.
Yeah.
They want to see what Biden's going to react. They don't really care about policy on this, I don't think. I could be wrong.
Well, but that's probably true for a lot of presidential debates. Don't you think people say, and I just want to see what these guys are going to say.
Yeah.
But this early, with these two guys who really don't like each other, just, you know, deeply dislike each other, this is going to be much must-see TV. I'll be watching it. I may order. I'm going to order wings and ranch sauce to watch this like I would the Super Bowl.
Do you do hot or mild, or what do you do?
So I'm going hot.
But I want... when you're watching the debate Thursday night, will you be jacked up?
No. In fact, I may be.
Can I accuse you of being jacked up?
How many Diet Cokes will you consume during the...
Oh, no. nothing before bed. Nothing like that. No, you're right. That's why I said I hesitate to do this.
To watch the debate?
No. To say that I think Joe Biden will be will have taken something.
A cocktail is what you called it.
Yes, I called it a cocktail.
You just went off for the full-on cocktail, which is a mixture of different things.
It's a mixture of different things.
Right. So they're going to shoot him up.
But
shoot him up, put him out there.
That's a fair criticism that I probably should not say that, but we'll wait and see.
It's just fruit cocktail and syrup, like it says on the
can. But it sounds like to me you're saying if Biden has a good, quote, good night, he will have to be jacked up. That's what you're saying. That's what I understand.
Because
it helps him think and speak better.
Yes, in a manner that's not the same as he does on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So, listen, if he...
And you say so without any evidence.
No, that's exactly
right. But that's
right.
A good Christian way.
Yeah, just be careful. That sword cuts both ways there.
Right.
Tim, we can pull that blade out anytime.
Okay. What did I say wrong?
No, I'm just saying. This does involve a little bit of speculation on my part. And I will tell you this. Next week, because following the debate, we have Trivia Friday and we don't talk politics.
Right.
Next Monday, on our show, this here show.
A
week from today, if Joe Biden does exceptionally well, and I'm surprised by that, and I look at him and I say, well, you know what? I don't think he's doing this with the aid of any artificial substances. I will say so on the air.
He's falling asleep all on his own.
Yes.
If the Lord tarries, I look forward to hearing that. Yes.
Right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we hope that you have a good day of stowing.
And tarrying. Tarry for a while somewhere and just take it easy for a few minutes.
Don't forget your shot.
Take that cocktail, folks.
I think we've used up our rear end jokes. Okay. We'll be back. We'll be back 5
Derriere.
Minutes. We'll be back 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.